I was sitting looking at a big coffee table book of Andrew Wyeth's work and just looking it over and thinking how wonderful it was. And I said, I'll write a poem. So this poem uses 10 titles of Wyeth's work in it. Try not to make it look like you know that it blends together, hopefully. But title is Tasting the Cider Apples. I think one's art goes as far and as deep as one's love. Andrew Wyeth. She dreams she is in Christina's world, having trod up the hill to have Andrew capture the translucent linen house dress beneath which ample thighs and hips, longing for tender, caring attention, shiver with desire and maybe even lust. She has stopped to taste the cider apples buried in the snowshoe between the oak roots and finds them to be bitter. Finds them bitter, but knows the sweetness will come as the house where Andrew paints nears and the marsh hawk leads the way to ecstasy. Staring back across the winter field, she dares to think of George with his faraway stare, reliving a storm at sea of which he will not speak. She knows he wants her with him. He wants her to be free of him. Turning slowly on the emerald moss, she starts back up the hill, following distant thunder once again. In simple black dress, she sits for him on threshold, her back against panel door with porcelain knob, staring into the easel again, the easel space where Andrew works his craft. She is Christine now. The shadows come and go. The hours pass. Winter sun rouges her ashen features. Andrew puts down brush and heads for her. The winter bees buzz around. Vertigo sets in. The skillet smokes on stovetop. The bacon is lifted out. The eggs are broken. One has a double yolk. She makes sure she cooks that one hard for George. She makes sure she tells George she loves him. Sometimes we play with forms in our poetry contest monthly, and this is a form that I'm not going to go into the detail of how you put this before this and this comes after this and you repeat it back and do it again two verses down. But anyway, I just did it. So here it is. Searching for a kinder, gentler shore. We sit, we talk, we share a peaceful lunch beneath the ancient oak at Sunset Beach. Our rowboat, tethered to a nearby log, is bobbing up and down as waves touch shore and seagull horde begins to meet their mates upon the weathered craft which serves as home. My luncheon date befriends a nearby homie and gives crab delight to him for lunch. He is in no way treated like an inmate, but rather like the owner of the beach, squealing out loud the order of our chores as if he daily keeps a daily log. Our tether stretches, jerks, and looses log and javelins it wildly from its home, creating wild fear in all of us on shore. Startled by such a raucous boat launch, the frightened horde spreads wings and leaves the beach. darkly blotting out sky, this scrim of mates. No longer is our rowboat used to mate, since now it has been severed from the log. The seagulls have to find another beach on which to gather round and call them home, and find a kindly friend to give them lunch. They hope to find a kinder, gentler shore. They will not rest until they know for sure that this is where they want to meet with mates and have the famous crab delight for lunch. They settle down and rest upon the log, deciding that this place will now be home. They chase the shorebirds off their private beach. They've traveled far to finally reach this beach, a place they're proud to call their newfound home. There really is no better place than home after day-long trips to hunt for fish with mates and settle in and roost upon the log and dream of crab delight next day for lunch. At Sunrise Beach each day, they meet their mates up on the shore where tides bring in the log, another home where they can safely lunch. And we finish up with sort of a dark poem. It's a short poem. I watch you through 100 dreams. I'm alone in this building. No one to stoke the fire or turn down the bed. Archways lead to darkness. Everyone is gone. Nothing is missing. Something seems wrong. I watch you through 100 different dreams, discovering lostness or foundness. You slither constantly from the glow cast by my asking, or unfold wings to flitter from me, taking what you own, tossing aside the rest, spread out before you like a summer picnic. You made a bargain with your body. Mine has become hollow in this building where I am alone, shouting for silence, fighting for inner peace. Everyone is gone. No one is missing. Can nothing ever be right again? Joanne Samarani is going to be reading for us next.